Call this council meeting to order. Roll call, we have everybody in attendance. And a couple general announcements that I will make. I had the pleasure of being invited to Dunwoody High School this Friday for the senior pep rally. Dr. Harris is doing a fantastic job out there, so hats off to our local high school. And I say that not literally ours, but figuratively as the city's high school. Also, I wanted to make a quick general announcement regarding Kingsley. In Kingsley Charter, I'd gotten a letter from Tom Lambert with their charter council, and they were awarded a very prestigious National Parent Group of the Year award, and that's a national recognition for parental involvement. So hats off to the folks at Kingsley, another great example of community involvement in our city. So congratulations to those folks. Mr. Hennigan, would you do the honor? Pledge of allegiance. Raise the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, meeting minutes from October 12th work session. Any comments on the minutes that were emailed out?
I gave Mr. Anderson a couple of just minor typo-type changes to the alcohol beverage section of this thing, and with that change, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
Second.
All right, all in favor of approving the minutes as amended?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, meeting minutes for October 20th on that work session. Any comments on the minutes? You've got.
I move we approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All right, all in favor of approving the minutes as written? Aye. Any opposed? All right, any comments on tonight's agenda? I will move that we approve the agenda as written. All in favor? All right, any opposed? So be it. All right, public comments. Tonight, Mr. Anderson, are there cards going around for, is this?
There's a sign-up sheet.
Okay, this is a sign-up sheet. Also, I'm going to be doing a separate public comment regarding our alcohol ordinance, and that's going to be, I'm going to allow 15 minutes pro and con per side, so that will be separate public comment. So if you're on this list, and your comment revolves around the alcohol ordinance, I'd ask that you wait a few minutes till we hit that. So, with that being said, I will call you and just let me know if you want to defer or if it's non-alcohol related. Louise McCann.
It's alcohol related.
Okay. We will come back to you. Miss Wingate.
Alcohol related.
All right.
Wait, Ken. Does your husband know?
Ken.
Did you have him go sign the alcohol sign up list? Right next to that, there was an alcohol sign up list. If you could have him sign up there.
Or we'll just stand there.
That's all right. I'll go by this. If anybody has signed the, there's another list, alcohol sign up list. If anybody has signed that, Brian, if you can grab that for me, please. Mr. Sims.
I can wait. I'll wait for the alcohol.
That's just kind of alcohol?
That's
half a half. 7 and 7 type of thing, all right? Mr. Levy?
It's alcohol related.
All right. And looks like Mr. Sturgeon?
Defer, please. Alcohol related.
Well. Let me, give me 2 seconds and, okay, I see Mr. Ken. I'm just going to correlate you guys with the alcohol real quickly. Mr. Sims, are you pro or con for the alcohol? Speaking for
I like alcohol.
Okay.
I'm for the 4 o'clock time.
Okay.
No, public health first is a problem.
Okay, Mr. Levy, we're speaking for the 2 o'clock or again?
There are more issues.
Okay. Okay, got it. Well, you know what? I might call you up here in a second. And Mr. Sturgeon?
Yes, sir.
Were you 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. or something in between?
I had more general comments about the alcohol.
Okay.
The ordinance in general.
All right. And that was it. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and call Mr. Levy. Let's go ahead and call you up since it's alcohol related, but it's...
But it's general.
Yes.
Can I speak from back here?
Sure.
Can everybody hear?
We'll be recording on it.
As I've spoken in front of this group before, thank you for having me speak. I am the owner of the Bond Wine Barn Shop. I'm also a Delaware homeowner here since 1975. And I've worked with some other people in the business and the restaurant business, and we've come up with a whole list of things that are their incomes are not compatible with either things from the Cab County or things in the state laws. To mention a few, thank goodness the election is going to happen next week, because we wouldn't be able to serve any alcohol on election day with these ordinances that are being proposed, as opposed to the DeKalb and the state legislature that says we can, in fact, serve alcohol on election day. I know there's a big issue between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and it's one of the points that other people talk about that. But there are just so many other issues involved in this that a group of us feel that we need, I've volunteered to help before, but to get together some group or committee that can help sort out what we can do to stay in business and still have these regulations put upon us, so to speak. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Ken?
Yes?
I signed up for... I guess alcohol, but mine is more general if you're moving towards general before you get into
school. All right, Ms. Olson, go ahead and take the stand, please.
Okay. Make sure I hold my stuff. I'll come up front. I think I know most of the people in the room.
Ms. Olson. Thank you, council members and Mayor Wright and community members for letting me speak. I'm a 15-year resident of Dunwoody, a business owner with Brian Cathay Armesa. Been in business 29 years and we're looking forward to starting our 30th year in December. And I'm very involved in the public schools. So I have some working knowledge of how councils work and how you work with very emotional issues and allowing for due process to take place when these events are happening. I'm concerned by the mere fact that the pace that's being taken place on this one issue. I know the council has a lot of issues at hand, is inundated with emails, and probably has desks full of paperwork that has to be addressed, completed in a certain amount of time, and things just have to start happening before we really take over the business of running a city on December 1st. And watching decisions being made in the public school arena, the slow process that has caused so much frustration with the lack of being able to make a decision works against a system. And then when you have a proposal and goes to approval within a very short time, you also create the same kind of resentment. I feel that this alcohol proposal, as well as maybe other issues that are at hand that don't have to be decided at this moment in time so that we can start running the business of the city. If you don't allow for that amount of time to take place for community weigh-in, most folks don't even know that these meetings are being held. They think that December 1st is going to start running the city. And truthfully, as a Citizens for Dunwoody committee member, I thought a lot of these decisions would start to be made after December 1st. And I was pretty shocked by the fact that this could be ruled on in a very short amount of time. So I just wanted to make my opinion known to the council and to our community that we should slow this process and only deal with the matters at hand that need to be dealt with so that we can start running the city. And as the council members get settled into their seats, get their heads above water, issues such as the alcohol ordinance can be deferred until that time. And my recommendation would be that we adopt the CAS ordinance until further time. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Sturgeon, I believe yours was.
Mr. Can I sit back here and put my notes by talking about it? I can speak loud enough for everybody. Stand up, please. My name is Brad Sturgeon. I'm general manager of the MC Suites Hotel, and I've been general manager there since 1996. I've spent about 25,000 plus hours in Dunwoody since then, I figured out. I represent myself, my hotel. I'm working with the other four hotels in the city. As you all know, there are 14. But therefore, we have about 1,500 plus rooms. And I definitely agree with the previous speaker talking about going slow right now on any substantial changes. I understand the need to do what you have to do to make sure that we can go ahead with the licensing process. We certainly want you to do that. We wouldn't want to be an impediment to that. But with the consequential decision of the things you may in fact do, and given the overlay of the economy right now, I'm very concerned. For instance, a hotel business in the trailing 12 months, this hotel's in Dunwoody, produced over $50 million of revenue, and in the last 12 months, we're down 6.5%. So we certainly want to go slow and make sure we do nothing to hurt the economy. The revenues that the hotel generates for the county are over $2.5 million, just those five, and obviously we have many issues we can talk about down the road. This is one of many, but again, there's some plans on the table. And we would definitely appreciate that you would take that into consideration. I have been in touch with the other general managers of hotels in the city, so I'm not really speaking only for myself, but I wouldn't presume to speak for them. That includes the Marriott, the Crown Plaza, the W, and the State Bridge, which I don't know if they have a liquor license or not. I couldn't confirm that. But for those of us that do, and then even for the one that doesn't, still a lot of revenue on the table, and there's some very serious consequences I'd be concerned about as a hotel operator. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, that ends the regular public comment section. We're going to move to unfinished business. And Lenny, are you our clerk today?
Yes, I am.
If you give us a second read.
The first item on the unfinished business is the second reading of the ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 18, Municipal Court, providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 18, Municipal Court, is attached here to and incorporated here.
Okay.
Mayor, I move to adopt the Municipal Court ordinance as read.
Okay. Discussion. Mr. Inchman?
Yes. This one has had some edits from some of the public, and therefore, in order to adopt this one, we need to do a substitute. So, substitute this one and then adopt.
Okay. We could have a motion for substitution.
I move that we adopt the substitute.
Good, second. Okay. Discussion? All right. All in favor? Any opposed? Do we need to vote on that motion now, Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
No, we're voting on it. We're voting on it now.
Vote on it now.
Okay. All right, I'll approve the motion as amended.
Call
in favor? Any opposed? Thank you, Penny. All right, now we're on alcohol beverages. I'll turn internally to council any discussion on the alcohol before we take public comment. Ms. Shortle?
Discussion.
We're taking this discussion. Any internal discussion on this?
Yeah.
Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
My question to council is, I've got a revised version of this ordinance in front of me that I think attempts to align this ordinance with DeKalb County for just about everything but the bar closing time. Can you give us a Reader's Digest version of where the differences are between the ordinance we have and the DeKalb County Code?
Okay. One of the big ordinances difference is in the format of it. The DeKalb Code has basically no organization. I mean, it's got things here and there. The thing tries to get them all in a streamlined organization. That's the biggest. All of the comments by, I believe, the owner of Divine,
Mr. Levy,
I have incorporated. I've gone through and put in most of the major changes, or all the changes that he suggested that were allowed by state law, and gone through and put in most of the other changes. There are still some changes that are different. The happy hour, there's one difference in there. One has a 2-for-1 versus the other has a half price. It's not allowed. There's some minor differences like that, but overall, they should be pretty much the same at this time. There's a lot of differences on renewal. DeKalb County allows renewal. This version, what it has is that, as it stands, anyone that has a current alcohol license will be allowed to continue into 2009 until the city makes a final determination that won't work. We're going to have to give temporary permits. So that section will change. We'll give everyone who applies on time a temporary until we can do the final because the state's going to require an actual permit.
And that's it?
There may be some others, but might get them during here, but those are the ones I know of.
Okay. Mr. Rock?
It's my understanding that we have to pass this ordinance before we can accept licenses for alcohol. Is that right?
That's correct.
And it's also my understanding that tax bills are going to be sent out, or should be sent out on the 15th of November. And they will be sent out, these license renewals will be sent out on the 15th of November. Is that right?
Well, there's nothing that mandates the notifications to be sent out. It is a courtesy and it's a good idea to mail them out as soon as possible, especially when we're going to ask them to be returned in early December sometime. But there is no mandate that they actually be mailed.
And in the absence of these being sent out and returned, the license will expire automatically on what they...
If they don't come in and apply, yes. On the end of the year, they will, unless they get a temporary permit, the license will expire. So yes, it is a very good idea to do a mailing as soon as possible.
Attorney, a couple questions just for reference. If we were to adopt the existing DeKalb code in order to facilitate getting a license done now, would we be able to modify this later on in substantial form if we decided to do that?
You can always modify,
as
yes.
As an ordinance.
Except if you do modify later on. Right now, we do have a chance to start with a clean slate. There is some school of thought that if you start at this point, you have less chance of being challenged than at a later time. If they have a ordinance and then you do change it, it makes it a little more problematic.
Okay, what do you see as exposure right now to that? I mean, if you were to change it later, would that be somebody coming in and making a legal challenge to a change later on to roll back?
Yes.
Change provisions of it?
Yes. You're never immune to a challenge, but alcohol is one of the ones that's hardest to challenge.
Any other internal discussion?
Yes. Initially, we were told that the 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. rollback affected two establishments. Recently, I've been hearing that it's going to affect a whole lot more establishments than the two that we were initially told about. How does this affect those businesses? It's going to cut the closing time back. I don't think the public really has had enough time to look at that. I'm concerned on that issue. I'm also concerned on the changes in which we're moving fast in the sense of businesses which are being put into place that are trying to comply with current DeKalb County law. There's a patio establishment that's being established, I believe, at a hotel. They're currently trying to work within the current DeKalb County law. How are we, is that business going to be affected then by the decisions that we make in the sense of rolling back these rules? Right now they're operating under both DeKalb County, and they're trying to be in compliance with that DeKalb County law. But yet, we're going to change it and change their complete business strategy on that. I'm concerned.
Can you address that, Mr. Anderson, as far as this permitting right now?
On the patio, plan is, and I think this one has, it's just not the draft that is, has the current patio to be identical as the caps.
Okay, so that's been addressed then.
That one has been addressed.
Okay. All right, any other internal discussion?
I guess, I don't know if any of us are experts in this, this business, except as consumers or customers. Would we want to put together a study group with people from council and the industry to look at this very quickly before we move ahead with this, just to get some additional... I mean, we've heard a lot of commentary. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more right after this, but I know nothing about this business. I don't know how to mention it.
Yeah, I think that's an idea. I'll certainly make a note of it. Mr. Shortle?
I just to give you a feedback I've gotten in some of them, both pro and con, here tonight that I've sent the email out from the citizens. Right now, it's raining, and we're basically discussing the 2 and 4 o'clock. That seems to be the big thing. I think Mr. Levy back there, he had some concerns that I thought were very important and that I agreed with some of them. Many of them, in fact. But as far as the closing time, 2 to 4 o'clock, the survey that I did, I guess it's not that big of a poll, it's over 100 citizens. It was around 89% for 2 o'clock, and there were 7% for 4 o'clock, and one of my Irish friends said all night, so I...
20%.
Somewhere along there is 100%. I just throw that out for what that's worth.
I think we're short on Ms. Hannigan.
Well, prior to this meeting, I met with the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce. a number of establishments. Mr. Doug McKendrick, who I believe is in the room, there are a number of issues that the business community has with this ordinance. I think a committee to look at this, the 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock might be one side issue. But let's see if we can work on some of the issues that the business community has where we can help feed the business community, because they shouldn't be hurt. An established business didn't ask to be part of the city of Dunwoody. We forced it upon them. There's a number of things that we could do to work and partner with the business community, and that's where I would hope that we would go to. I'd like to go down, form a partnership with them, look at this line by line to see how it affects them, the chamber, the businesses of the community, so maybe we can make some modifications.
Mr. Shorter? I agree with you wholeheartedly, John. The only thing I think you did not include there were the wants and the desires of the citizens as a whole also. So I think that should definitely be into anything. As far as the study group is concerned, you know, I don't think you have time for it to continue on. As far as anything continuing on in DeKalb County, 83% of the citizens of the city voted to get away from DeKalb County and form our own city. So I think that's something that we should take into account, something that we should move forward for. We should have our own ordinance. We should be able to write our own ordinance and with an agreement. I agree also that, and I'm the one that wrote the thing in the paper that said, you know, we'll walk hand in hand with the businesses and we want businesses to come here. But, you know, when it comes to liquor license and things like that, it becomes a privilege, not a right. And I think it's something we have to look at very heavily. And we also have to look at the, again, as I said before, the wants and desires of the citizens of the community.
Now I have a question. Mr. Anderson, just out of curiosity, I know DeKalb County has been fighting tooth and nail, a number of commissioners that roll back to 2 o'clock, and CEO Jones has been preventing that. Out of curiosity, do you have any idea, I believe it's, I've gone blank, one of the commissioners who's trying to get it vis-a-vis an ordinance,
Lee Mack,
Rader. Do you have any knowledge on that?
On whether they're going to succeed or not?
Well, how would that affect? I'm just curious if on DeKalb County, if you're a bar owner and that does get passed that way, does that affect everybody's time? Or is it just new businesses? Or?
Well, it depends on how they're going to draft the ordinance, which hasn't been passed yet. it will affect everybody in unincorporated DeKalb.
Right.
They may have a, one thing I heard is they might have a 230 compromise. I have not read the ordinance, so I don't know.
The other side of that, when they, listening to the BOC on that, they're also struggling with some definitions over what's a restaurant, bar, or nightclub, just depending on, you know, if you have a dance floor, things like that. I'm not really well-versed in specifics, but that's part of the argument they've been fighting over for a couple of years now.
Okay, and also clarification, Sandy Springs, Milton, Johns Creek, all 2 o'clock?
All 2 o'clock.
All right.
Doorville is 2.
And Doorville. Okay. So, any other internal comments? All right, I'm going to, yes.
I just had a question about what Bob meant about the fatalities.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Has there been a change?
No, I mean, I already, I'll just put together what I've handed out to you, and what it shows is our fatalities in DeKalb County through 2006 are readily available, and the numbers for the state are through 2007, as well as DeKalb on the two charts that I have. But as far as our numbers, on an average year, we'll lose about 70 to 80 DeKalb Countyans to crash deaths, and approximately 40-45% of them are due to impaired drivers. And that compares with the average for the state, which is about 33%. So DeKalb County is in our target.
All right, Mr. Dow, just for point of order, would you introduce yourself and... Yeah, just to let everybody know who was speaking and what, how do you know these things. And...
My name is Bob Dallas. I am the director for the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other internal? Mr. Ross?
Just one other question. Council,
I think at the last meeting we talked about grandfathering. Clarify to the council what the council's position is on grandfathering existing clubs.
Well, of course,
you can 2 o'clock versus 4 o'clock versus 2 o'clock.
You can draft an ordinance that does allow grandfathering. You can put in sunsets if you so desire. You can put in rules such as anyone who operated a majority of the days or nights to 4 o'clock can now get a be grandfathered in. You can put in whatever ordinance you want in any type of grandfather. Of course, if you do grandfather, it does open the door somewhat to have a challenge from someone else who is not in there, and they could say, hey, look, you've got these people in this situation, you're denying me out of something unrelated to alcohol, and try and get in that way.
But you could grandfather without allowing that grandfathering privilege to be transferred to a subsequent owner of that club, right?
That could be drafted that way.
Any other questions, discussions? We're going to move to the public comment now regarding alcohol ordinance. We do have the sign-in sheet with these con and pro. And I'm going to ask General to flip this large coin for me. In all fairness, I'm going to give the pro folks heads and the con folks tails. So please do the honor and let us know. That is the pro, Mr. Dallas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the City Council. As you have heard, my name is Bob Dallas. I'm the director for the Governor's Office of Highway Safety. I also am the Planning Commissioner for this area for the past 12 years, where I serve as Vice Chairman of the Decatur County Planning Commission, and I'm also a 25-year resident of Dunwoody. I have passed out to the council members, and I have more copies here, a letter that I had put together with respect to the issue of 2 o'clock versus 4 o'clock. And let me just preface all of this. When it comes to the administrative side of processing these, my personal opinion, of course, you want to be as efficient and as effective as technically possible. But to the extent the Decatur County system is better or not, I don't know enough about that, except to say that what's good for business in that regard is probably good for the city. But I'm only talking precisely about the 2 versus 4 o'clock. And I say this because we came up with the Planning Commission about a year ago when the City of Atlanta rolled back its hours. Let me repeat that. The City of Atlanta, with hundreds and hundreds of bars, rolled back its hours from 4 o'clock to, I believe, 2 or 2:30, depending on the circumstances. And what that caused was a number of these bars, which were formerly in the City of Atlanta, moved to other areas that had 4 a.m. closing hours, such as Decatur County. Many of those locations were in strip centers, which permeate our county, as you know, through the 60s and 70s style development. And many of those strip centers are near residential areas. Well, obviously, the neighbors in that area became concerned because they saw a change in operations around there late at night. And with that, we have a planning commission, along with some of the commissioners, thought that, well, the county as a whole should move it back to 2 a.m. as well. Not only from the public safety perspective, that will get to in a minute, but just in the quality of life. And as you probably read, many of the other commissioners on board raised concerns about how this was targeted at one group versus another, just wasn't fair, which is ironic given the fact that the City of Atlanta did the exact same thing. Now, having said that, Commissioner Rader did try to propose a 2:30 a.m. compromise, which, as I understand things, is not yet pleasing, but it's still on their table. Now, when we went through the process of creating this city, many of us did say, as Councilmember Shortle just stated, that we would be able to control our destiny as a city and define those things that make us a better city, recognizing who we are. And I know in advocating for the City of Dunwoody, that was one of the things I talked about, was that we could, in contrast to the Decatur County, more like the City of Atlanta, roll back our closing hours to what I consider to be a more reasonable time for that public safety reason that I'll get to in a minute. But that's especially in context of exactly what's going on at Perimeter Center. Mark my words, Perimeter Center is a transit-oriented development that over the next several years we'll see a lot more people come to live there. Irrespective of the housing type, that is what the planners of this region have decided, that's where the investment is on, so you're going to see a lot of folks come here. So the question is, as those folks come here, we're talking as classes, what kind of destination place do we want this to be? Because as you develop a city like that,
the 4 a.m. destination spot versus the 2 a.m. destination spot, I will tell you it's a different kind of perspective. And in my perspective, as we look to make this a family-friendly city, where Perimeter Center is also a family-friendly area, that the 2 a.m. closing is more consistent with that. And that's why I think that that's what it should be. Now, I say that from the perspective, too, on the safety side. Our office spends a lot of money throughout the state of Georgia to try to address public safety. I was spending my office in the neighborhood of $15 million a year just on alcohol-related enforcement throughout the state of Georgia. With DeKalb County, we have a grant, Highway Enforcement of Aggressive Traffic, in the neighborhood of $250,000 a year. When the city of Sandy Springs started, we also gave them a grant approaching $200,000 a year in order to develop an e-unit because our data showed clearly that crash deaths due to alcohol-related drivers, alcohol-impaired drivers, were well overrepresented. And as you heard me say earlier, in a trial that passed down, the hours of and the numbers clearly illustrate the fact that if you look at the crash deaths related to crashes, that the later you get in the evening, the more significant the crashes are, therefore the more deaths. And I can just point to the fact that the deadly hours are basically between 11 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. And that's not surprising given that a lot of the places around here do have 4 a.m. closing times and people are driving from that location to their home. And I've heard many a comment made that we have a lot of responsible for our and that's great. But when a person makes a decision to leave impaired, you know, and while that may look okay to you, trust me, they're still probably going to be point of late or above. And the consequences of that are borne by the rest of us in the public. And you may have heard about an officer just this past week who was killed in a crash, and he was going home from a ship. His officer, Sergeant Daryl Johnson, at the Atlanta Police Department. He was driving home, and a paired driver who was trying to escape another officer who had seen him impaired, smashed into him and killed him. And that is very consistent. It was 3 hours in the morning, I think it's 5 or 6 in the morning. Very consistent with the kind of crashes that we have as a result of people going to mind at those late hours, well overrepresented. But he points something else out that I think is critical for this board to understand. Walmart and McDonald's, two great businesses that we have here at Perimeter Center. The new McDonald's, which I think is a great little facility. The Walmart, which provides us a lot of great services. Do you know that the planning commission and board of commissioners have imposed on them a closing hour? Now, think about that. A lot of Walmarts will stay open 24/7. Many of the McDonald's, especially during the weekends, like to stay open extremely late. Well, our view of that was that you're going to attract folks late at night who are probably...
Thank you, Mr. Gatz.
And with that, of course, I'm available to answer the questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Dallas. Ms. McCann?
Yes. I think you can hear me. I'm a long-time resident. Probably the longest one of the longest ones to be. I came in 1972, and I've been involved in generally from homeowners association, from parades, to garden clubs, to whatever. One of the great things about Dunwoody, it has been a family-oriented place, and a place proud to have a family. You can look at the trophies around here tonight, sports, music, arts, all sorts of things. I think we need to keep in mind that we want to remain a strong, family-oriented community. We don't want to have problems that they had in Buckhead a few years ago where families did not go out because of the drinking problem. Now, the bottom line comes to the people who we elected to represent us. But I want you to remember and think about the fact that people still come to Dunwoody because it's family-oriented. We're proud of our churches, our synagogues, our sports programs, our schools, and everything. And we're going to keep attracting those people. We have to keep that family-oriented thing out in front. And I appreciate the motels and hotels. They have their job to do, and I understand that. But I ask you just to remember that Dunwoody community has always been a very family-oriented place for all of us here and most of us here, and we would like to keep it that way in the years to come. My children are here. My grandchildren are here. We're proud of Dunwoody. We all want to stay here. And remember making your decision, and it is your decision, to keep these things in mind tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. McCann. Ms. Wingate.
Thank you.
I'm Deb Wingate, a 28-year resident of Dunley. And during those 28 years, it's been my privilege to serve as a volunteer and or a board member of most every organization in the community, starting with the DHA, the Dunley Nature Center, the Dunley Preservation Trust, Dunley Women's Club, State Door Players. All of the things that we have built to make Dunley what it is today, what the realtors talk about when they sell houses here, why our community is staying here, children are growing up and raising their children here. I'd like to offer a slightly different point of view on this, because I was also co-chairman of Dunwoody Yes. Prior to the referendum, and while we were working on the referendum, I think I could safely say that the people of Dunwoody unanimously told us they wanted to maintain and further create a safe, quiet, small, hometown community for their children to grow up and prosper in. Most also said they wanted a strong, thriving business community. And I for one say amen to that. They are not mutually exclusive. Bars can close at 2 a.m. That doesn't mean they automatically lose revenue. What I suggest, and I respectfully suggest, and Council, if you'll forgive me, you know how I feel, I'd like to address this to the good people that I recognize in the audience that are our bar restaurant owners. Because I also, in those 28 years, have become a person who eats out a lot. And if you know, in retirement, my husband and I eat out almost as much as we eat in. So we frequent some of your establishments. Can't say I've been to Gilly's, Mr. Gilmore, but I've been to most of the others that are represented in this room. And I may make it to yours, too. But what I'd like to suggest is to rethink your market. If you're going to operate in Dunwoody, then appeal to Dunwoody residents. Appeal to the people who are living here and raising their families here. I'm confident a master plan will never pass that it makes Dunwoody a drinking destination, a watering hole for all of Metro Atlanta that has already chosen to close at 2 o'clock or is in the process of fighting lawsuits to roll back to a 2 a.m. closing. There's a good reason that they're doing that. My suggestion is, think earlier rather than later. Dunwoodians love to eat out, and we also enjoy sharing adult beverages with our friends and having a good time. We are always looking for somewhere different to go, not to the same little four or five places every time we go out. We like to go to different places to have lunch out. One of the gentlemen in the audience knows my husband and I love to stop in and share lunch at his restaurant. And a nice libation, lunch and early dinner. We haven't been there late at night. I honestly don't know how late they stay open, but I do know that if we can create, in the areas that exist, I'll use Firebird as an example. They have a wonderful fireplace room that I personally have gone into with a group for meetings. We can eat, we can drink, we can have our meeting. It's a wonderful place to go. I can't fly everyone else that's in the room, but if you look at those, it's great for an adult birthday party. It could be marketed as a gathering place. The menu wouldn't probably have to change, if at all. Just the venue might have changed slightly. And you could appeal to, I believe, enough of an earlier crowd to make up for any loss that you might lose between that 2 and 4 a.m. I think, for example, after a council meeting, how much fun would be if we all go over and stop in at one of the places? You could have a soft beverage or an adult beverage. Either way, but we could make these places thrive. And that's what we want to do. I guess I would suggest that you might even make more money if you appeal to the true Dunwoody, the people who live here. And I guess I would like to say, let's reach our hands across the bar, and let's try to come to an agreement on that that would benefit all of us. I think it's the right thing. It would be good for Dunwoody, and it would be good for all of us. And I thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wingate. All right, Mr. Olson. This is Tom, by the way.
This is Tom. Thank you, council members.
Tom.
Mr. Mayor. I just want to make a point. I spoke a bit last week, so I'm not going to be redundant to that, but that we are, I see some of my good friends here, Doug and Hendrick, who's sort of much older than I, but we've been in this business for a while. I don't have any gray hair. And works into the conversation. We have to be a place that has a European coffee house, serves alcohol and cake and food and coffee late at night. That's part of our concept. And in Europe, I enjoy walking around in Prague at 5 in the morning. I'm there with hundreds and thousands of other people walking around too. People go to bed here a little earlier, but could go to bed later, and some choose to. I've got neighbors and friends who get into town, pull into the airport at 11 at night, can't wait to come over and get something to eat because they've been on a trip to work. So there are all kinds of reasons that people go out late. And if the accident rate spikes, which the charts show, as Bob has figured, I'd be curious to know something. A spike in accidents, how many, what percentage of those people drank in a bar and a restaurant? That doesn't qualify the facts that a lot of those people are at parties drinking. Some of them are in their car drinking. Some of them are on the street drinking. And there are here other facts that play into this. I'm not dogmatic about 4 a.m. versus 2 a.m. Our point is a little bit more dramatically about what is happening with the whole embracing of this law and the rush to judgment and the ordinance deliberations that are with it. And by the way, my kids, the city of Atlanta closes the tree. It was 4. And that was for one reason. One reason. Buckhead turned into a ghetto. That was the reason they did it. And the city of Atlanta chose at the same time to keep their city of Atlanta, old underground Atlanta, serving alcohol at 4 a.m. So there's a little bit of politics playing in. Now, we are citizens as well. We are very compliant citizens, all of us in this industry. We're just an industry. We have personal motives. We love the city of Dunwoody. We love the fact, as Paige said earlier, that Dunwoody became a city, and she worked extremely hard at it, and I did to a certain degree as well, as much as I could, to help this happen. And all of you worked very hard at it. We want it to be a great city and a safe city and a family city. But I think that something like this needs to be studied in a committee setting. And if it becomes 2 o'clock, if it becomes 3, if it stays at 4, let's base it on facts. If we have, there are so many facets to this ordinance that need to be studied, that need to be considered and analyzed with facts. My opinion is okay, but I can present facts when I'm talking to a group like this. Everyone else should present facts. We should base this on tangible evidence of what happens, along with raw quality rather than just quantity of what transpires, so that it's predicated upon preserving the economic fiber, preserving the economies of these businesses that have opened and operated for a long time, or some of which are opening next week and next month, based upon the laws that existed at the time, and substantiate what we're doing, however, through committee discussion, and then make a decision on it. Our liquor licenses, as you just heard, become technically null and void on December 31st, and that can be extended. But it's the end of the year, we've got 2 months, and it's a rush to judgment, I think, to speed through the process of analyzing this ordinance that quickly. I think it should be a committee, and should be given some time, and we make the adjustments during the course of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Mr. Crow?
Yeah, I am Doug's partner, and we kind of summed up together back to back. And I really don't have a lot of difference in what's being said, except that the timeliness is an issue. I mean, we can sit here and rattle off 100 things that we disagree with or feel differently about the ordinance, but we're not really here to argue or even a thing. I'm strongly with the committee that we really should take a hard look and take our time. And not just business, but residents as well. You know, they could have their share as well to say before we just slam into it. I mean, we also have for us, you know, when you skip the grandfather and go straight and get them, this is our busiest time of year. I mean, with our businesses, this is where we thrive. So if we're running out chasing down different applications and different scenarios, that's tough. That makes it tough.
Mr. McKendrick, would you like to expand on that?
My name is Doug McKendrick, and I've been part of Dunwoody for 29 years. I opened the bond in 1979. I've had an East Field, Park Place Cafe, and a bunch of other things. And I'm with Brian Olson. I mean, this needs to be studied. I technically came back to vacation. I got injured, and I have a back problem right now. But I came back to vacation because I heard that this was coming up, and there was actually no time for anybody to study. And all I think we're asking is will the council come up with a way ability to go through this line by line and just make it the best you really can. I mean, I congratulate you on what you, I mean, I live in Sandy Springs, but had I lived in Dunwoody, I was wholehearted for this entire operation, is to get control of what we do over here. So I think it's all we're doing is asking to look through this, and I think we could do it in a week or 10 days, just to go through it with legal counsel over here and see if we get some of this stuff straightened out. There are some things in there. I've got 17 items. Bob's got a page and a half of just things that we can go through. But I think it's a wonderful time to get this fixed. I don't really want to talk about it before, because that's kind of a controversial issue there. But I want to congratulate the city of Dunwoody for getting to where they are right now. But I just asked the council to come up with some way to take a look at some of the items in there. I've got about 17 of them here that I would like to just talk about for a few minutes, not here, but within an environment where we can all talk back and forth. That's all I have to say, but congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. McKendrick. Mr. DeVita?
Hi, my name is Joe DeVita. I'm here on behalf of the Federal Chamber of Commerce. I work with many of you through the city process. And one of the reasons why we moved to get the Chamber of Commerce form is that we've learned a lot from the other cities, and we can do much better than what we've seen in our neighbors and all the process that we learned from. And I believe that if we engage the business community as part of this process and have this discourse, we can end up with a much better result. Now, there are two issues that are facing us here, at least in my view. One is the time pressure that we are under to get a business license application out. That's putting some pressure on the situation. And it's forcing us to adopt ordinance that may have a lot of unintended consequences. Now, the initial cursory look at how many businesses affects, it directly affects two, but there are many other bars and restaurants and other businesses that are affected by this ordinance. And the one of the risks that we face here is that when we're dealing with the 2 versus 4 o'clock issue, we may be inadvertently overlooking other issues that we have. For example, I got a call today from a Chinese restaurant that she's panicking. She would rather move into Dunwoody than trust someone else to put on the name of the application. For her, she's giving away control of her business, and it's hard to explain to her that it's just going to require you to get an agent. But one problem we face is that we're instilling panic in a business community that has just now begun to understand the process of citizenship. Now, I've worked with the outreach efforts for the past 3 years. I know we spent a lot of time educating homeowners. We're hearing from homeowners. But we are now just hearing from businesses. And the other issue that we address is making sure that the laws that we pass are consistent with our community values. The Chamber of Commerce certainly is for responsible economic growth that is consistent with a reputation we have as a premier place to live, work, and play. So what I propose is that we look at passing an ordinance that's consistent with the laws that are being operated under now. It will streamline our business application process. Once we get the business application in, we can then know we have some really hard data on how we're affecting our businesses. And I thank Bob for bringing some very good statistics to the table today. But we might want to consider this. When an individual makes that choice to drive, they make a choice also depending on how much it costs for a cab fare. So if they're local, within 1 or 2 places that we may either grandfather in or allow under a certain sunset period to allow that business to transition, you have second shift employees that are out late at night and they're drinking. And they decide whether they have that extra drink. And they say, well, is it a $30 cab ride home or a $5 cab ride home? Some of you may have children or family, right, that work second shift, or maybe out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And think about their decisions they have to make. If it's a $5 cab ride home, and it's a local place with an armed and sworn officer on premise, it's easy to take a cab. Right? But if we tell them that they can't go here, they have to go somewhere else, right? How many will hit the highways, and how many of those traffic fatalities and statistics are a result of people finding a place to go drink, right? And once they're there, realizing that it's $30 to $40 to get home, plus pick up the car the next day, right? So we want to just consider these things, and we want to bring the true professionals to the table, right? Which are the bar and restaurant owners and the other professionals that know this industry. And if they work with city council, I'm sure we'll come up with a good solution. So.
Thank you, Mr. DeVita. Mr. Sim.
It sounds like we're almost trying to move from 2 to 4 rather than just keep status quo here, which I guess is a little concerning to me, but you're allowing me to speak. My main concern, I guess, is the impact as a citizen of Dunwoody on the tax portion of this. I don't know if everybody, because it wasn't like jumped out there, that the city revenue gotten from property tax is a very small portion of the total revenue the city gets, and it's mainly from the $2.5 million and fees and assessments from businesses in the perimeter center district. So I just wanted to say that I think we should consider leaving it as we go. There's no reason that we need to create a government where this starts looking like a third party, us versus them, and there's really, the government is not representing truly the needs and wants of the people who are using those services. I don't know how many of us stay up until 4 o'clock to drink. I certainly do not. With 2 kids, I am in bed by 11 o'clock the latest. But I certainly want to put my onus, when I'm not somebody who's ever going to be affected, onto a business owner or another individual. And I think that when the city council is making decisions, we need to see how that is going to affect us from a tax standpoint. We made a notation in our charter that we can't really raise taxes. And this weekend's AJC was directly pointing at the fact that property values were going down in DeKalb and a lot of metro Atlanta. And in order for revenues and budgets to remain equal, something's going to have to give. And if it doesn't mean raising taxes on property owners, is going to mean raising taxes on business owners. So I think we should just be careful that we look to put more of an onus on business owners, because the citizens of Dunwoody are certainly not going to be looking for a tax to make up something that we made in a hasty decision because people couldn't drink late at night when they formerly were and it was producing revenue for us.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore is the final one on the list.
For most of you folks that are new here, I'm one of those late night guys. I have been for 6.5 years. And no legal problems whatsoever with the police department, no problems at all. I'm able to say and answer any questions that you may feel about it. Sitting there talking to you, telling you what to do, what you don't do. There's a lot of activity controls. And I can tell you that we get a younger crowd, it's a secondship group that comes in. And they get a little bit of time to come in a larger group than they would with just a few people. I get the opportunity to play pool with, throw darts. They do that and they take their time. If you come back and I'm saying that for a short period of time, these people are going to be in. Around the mall, get off the 24th pound, and say, hey, you got to be out of here in 45 minutes. Oh, good, well, give me another drink. That's their attitude. So, members of City Council, I implore you to utilize the expertise of members of the chamber. And from an economic standpoint, the gentleman just brought up, sideways in Sunday's paper, signs of global slump. Every country is going through major downturns. And I can tell you, a lot of businesses that you expect to get aren't going to be able to do business with you. North Georgia bankruptcy filings surge. Last month, Georgia was second in the nation in bankruptcy filings. I'm not making this up. This is the local newspaper.
Nothing personal, April.
April makes it hard. urge Danny to go to North Lake Hall at 3:45 on a Saturday and see the problems that they create. Why don't you go to North Lake Hall? Why don't you go right around here? The perimeter, I've been here for 6.5 years. Come over my place any night you want to. And if you go in a straight line from North Lake Mall, I think you go to your right, you'll go to the city of Decatur. Program. Keep coming around to Shamley. So, don't hide from that. I mean, it's what's going to happen to the GM plant? What are you going to build there? What is that going to have? This lady was right. This gentleman, most of these people, give them some time to look at it. You went from 38 pages, the alcohol laws, to 39 pages. Who do you think the nearest expert on those pages? No. We're saying to you, give us a small group. We're glad to participate. We want to work with you. I can have a business here. I don't want to be an adversarial person. I have a lot more investment in the city as well. Let us work with you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Did you have copyright approval for those AJC
articles? April, you might want to check that.
All right, we've got... thank you for the comment, and we have a second read on the Ethics Ordinance, Chapter 9. Lenny?
Yes, sir. Second read on the Ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 9, Ethics, providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia. The reference in the future is Chapter 9, Ethics, is attached here to and incorporated therein.
Lenny? I move that we table the adoption of the ethics ordinance to our next meeting.
Okay, there's a motion to table. There's a second discussion on that.
I just think we need, with the other things we have on there, the breaking contract and a few other things, I think we need more time to study that. There is an alternate... ethics rules that have been written. I don't know how many people have them. And I think it's we should have more time to study those before we come to a vote on this ethics rule as originally written.
Robert?
I'd like to suggest that we go ahead and vote. This will be at least the third, if not the fourth, council meeting where we've talked about it. We do have an awful lot of things at every meeting to get through. This feels like one that we can come to a vote on and move on. And again, today we're operating without an ethics ordinance, and I think that's a problem. I trust that all of us are being ethical, but it'd be nice to have a standard that we measure ourselves against. I'd like to see us go ahead and make a decision on it before.
Thank you, Robert. Any other discussion?
I would agree with Mr. Wittenstein that we go forward. We've discussed this a number of times. We've had the alternate amendment for now several days.
One thing for council, in the conflicts issue, the one concern that I've heard expressed here is possibly not us, but police officers or employees in the season, particularly police officers, that would work second jobs, say at Berman Mall during the Christmas season, the jewelry store or anything like that. That it's still kind of vague there what a conflict is, and I think it's very kind of subjective as to what as you know, police officers, a lot of them work second jobs just to make ends meet. I would not want to preclude any of our city employees from doing that in a legit fashion.
Let me hold on a second there. Danny, Mr. Anderson, can you address that, please?
Yes, what that has is anything that could be perceived as a conflict with their current duty is not allowed. That would be addressed by the people who will be in charge of enforcing this. It'll be the committee that'll make that decision as it currently stands.
Okay.
Unless there's an amendment to specifically allow it.
So I guess this is not a question to council, I guess. I've still got some concerns that it's a political weapon, as the one sitting council member who has a politically motivated ethics charge at the state level is showing them right now. I know that it's used as a political weapon, And I just am, you know, when we have kind of vague wordings, it just opens us up for, you know, I know the one, the ethics charge against me right now is frivolous, and I'm just totally politically motivated. But at the end of the day, I'd hate to see this used. I just got a concern with that ethics charge.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Anderson, clarification on if I was a City of Dunwoody policeman, I could not work?
No, it doesn't say that. It says in order to, you're not allowed to have a employment that would be conflict of what you have. And he's asking, would that be considered a conflict? And that's not addressed one way or the other. It'd be up to...
So it'd be up to the ethics board to make that decision?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Stanley. This same ethics code is in existence in at least three other cities. To my knowledge, there's no problem with policemen working extra jobs. And I don't believe that that's an issue that we should be concerned about.
Okay. Another discussion? We're going to move for a vote. That vote is...
We've got a motion to table on
it. Yes, we have a motion to table.
Second.
And we have a second, so I'm going to move to vote on that motion to table. All right, all in favor to table, please raise your hand, say aye. That's three, all opposed.
All right, make a motion to accept the Ethics Code, Chapter 9, as written.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to accept as written and a second. Discussion on that?
Now, I, you know, this is kind of like fighting the apple pie and motherhood to stand up here, but gentlemen, you've written a document that I can politically motivate any one of you on, and I can get you on it. Once you do that, you have opened up with the famous Pandora's box. The alternate there is very concise. It gets out the terms as, where's the other one here? How about this sentence? Anything regardless of its monetary value perceived or intended by either the one who offers it or the one to whom it is offered to be sufficient in value to influence a public servant in the performance or non-performance of his official action. I mean, those are statements there that have no quantitative terms to them. They're just terms that anybody can throw out. And when it comes to the board, they're going to throw that out of the frivolous. The amendment already has that. It has that provision in there that it has a board. But it takes out terms like that. Terms that cannot be defined by anyone. It's kind of like a deluxe sandwich. What is a deluxe sandwich? Nobody can identify that either. And these are the exact same terms that you have in here. And again, you know, what you want is a document that everyone can understand in good terms. And it doesn't leave all this perception and the ideas of someone else. And I think that's the thing that you're asking for. And we know through this, Councilman Taylor has gone through this. We also know through this by going through Dunwoody, yes, exactly what this stuff, some of these things are used for. They're used for the opposition. Just to give you an idea, when we filed our financial statement on Dunwoody, yes, it was not due till midnight, but yet the opposition was down there in the middle of the day and demanding that they see it. And when the head of the ethics board told them they had till midnight, they were not very happy. But that was the reason for it. You know, we can have ethics. This document will not produce ethics, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing that produces ethics are the people around this table. And the alternate document is 15 pages. It's very clear-cut. It's very precise. It's very to the point. Every one of us can understand it. Every one of us. And it doesn't have all these other things, circumstances, rules, a reasonably prudent person. Reasonably prudent person. You know, if you want everything to go to the ethics board, that's kind of what you're eyeballing right here. We have a very good document. It's very thin. It's a very common sense document. It tells you exactly what it is. And I strongly favor the 15-page amended ethics document for Chapter 9.
because all of us will be able to understand that, and all of us will be able to live with it also, and it will not deter one iota from the ethics of this commission or this mayor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jordan. Yes, Robert?
Partly a point of information. The language for the Chapter 9 that we're discussing, does it include the revised definition, or do we need to make an amendment to include the revised definition?
The revised definition has not been included.
Okay. I would like to propose an amendment. The amendment is as follows. I move that we replace the definition of benefit in Article 1, Section 1 with the following. Benefit means anything having a monetary value in excess of $100. I would like that to replace paragraphs that are there. Those two paragraphs are, anything regardless of monetary value perceived or intended by either the one who offers it or the one to whom it is offered to be sufficient in value to influence a public servant in the performance or non-performance of an official action, or anything regardless of monetary value which under the circumstances a reasonably prudent person in the possession of a public servant to whom the thing is or may be offered would recognize as being likely to be intended to influence the public servant in the performance or non-performance of an official act. Those are, in fact, Councilman Shortle's contentions that those are gobbledygook, I think are entirely appropriate. And so I'd like to move that we amend the article that we're voting on to take those two paragraphs out, and in its place, a simple statement that monetary value in excess of $100.
Okay. There's a second discussion on that amendment.
Ms. Shore, point of information. Does it include the preliminary hearing amendment?
Now, my expectation was that we had to do these separately.
That was my question. Right. Has that been included?
No.
Okay. Any other discussion on that amendment? All right, I will call for a vote on that amendment.
Point of order?
Yes.
I thought we were going to...
I think we have to vote on each of the amendments.
Amendments first. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to make the amendment.
Yeah.
If you make a motion, if you're going to amend this motion to also add this, that is an amendment to the amendment, and it is not another. That is the point of order.
Okay. I guess point of information. I've got three things I'd like to see changed. Which is more appropriate? Should we bring them up one at a time, vote on them one at a time, or should I make an amendment that has three different changes and vote them all up or down? I'm unsure of the parliamentary.
You can do it either way. It's your call.
Okay. Well, if it's my call, yes. This First Amendment is only on the change to the definition of benefit.
Okay. And we have a second, and I'm going to call for vote on that amendment. All in favor of that amendment? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Strike that. There was none opposed. Okay. So we're back to the original motion as amended. Yes, Robert?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a motion to amend. I move that we replace the definition of gift in Article 1 by adding, in quotes, of over $100 after the first occurrence of the word value. Again, with the same intent in mind, which is the first one talks about a benefit and the second talks about a gift, and I'd like them both to be set at a value that is definitive.
Okay, is there a second on that? There's a second discussion on that amendment. I'll call a vote now on that amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, back to the original motion as twice amended.
And I'm done.
And that's it.
That's it for me.
That's all you have to read.
So the third one is actually the text that shows the over 100 in there.
Preliminary.
Okay.
I'm sorry, there is the preliminary. Where's the preliminary?
Preliminary.
Who's got it? Oh. One of the others. That's fine. That's right, anybody can do it.
You want to go ahead and make
that? Well, I need it in front of me. Sure, you need it? All right. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to move an amendment. Move to amend the first paragraph of Article 2, Section 6M, to add the word preliminary before the word hearing for both instances.
Okay, we have another amendment. Is there a second to that?
Second.
All right, there's a second. Any discussion to that amendment? No? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're back to the original motion as thrice amended. And
small question.
And there's a call to questions. Discussion on the call to question, or are we just voting? All right. And we're going to vote call to question, which will end all discussion, and this will be put to a vote. All in favor, that requires a two-thirds. All in favor to call the question, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, now we're calling the original motion as amended to vote. All in favor of the motion as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 3 opposed, 4-3 passes. All right, moving on to H4, which is discussion on city implementation issues. I will begin. The IGA and a subcommittee, which I am chairing, has been meeting with DeKalb weekly. It is contract negotiation, so I will not comment specifically on numbers or anything of that matter, but we are discussing today water, sewer, 9/11, police, fire, EMS, business licenses, and revenue collection. And that is ongoing and on a weekly basis. Mr. Taylor, do you have a police report for us?
Yeah, basically we've gotten bids now for several important pieces of equipment, multiple bids for automobiles basically in hand, as well as firearms in hand. I'm meeting either Thursday or Friday with Sheriff Tom Brown, who's put a proposal on the table to provide police services for Dunwoody. Work out some details on that and actually drill down into what his proposal entails. I'll report back on that. We have gotten, and with your recommendation, the grant writer too, we've contacted them to look at the grants for possible homeland security and public safety concerns.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. I also have an update on the city manager. I will be calling a special meeting a week from today to place in front of you to vote on a city manager. Okay, location right now will be at Stoney United Methodist Church. It will be posted 7 o'clock in the Asbury Room.
No, it won't be the Asbury Room.
Will not be the Asbury Room.
I don't have confirmation of the room. They just confirmed that we can use the church.
Okay, somewhere in that church we will have a special and we will post as soon as confirmation comes on the room. We will post it on, the crier will have it. We'll send it to the AJC, of course. We will post it everywhere and anywhere that we can. Mr. Hennigan, on that note, is there a website update? Are we still good for November 1st?
We are go for November 1st. All city council members have new email addresses, which I believe are functioning properly. firstname.lastname@dunwoodyga.gov.
All right, wonderful. Thank you. Yes, Robert.
Just to point out for general interest, on georgialocalgovernment.org, there are now job postings for a chief of police for Dunwoody, a finance director for Dunwoody, the city clerk for Dunwoody. So the search for filling those positions is underway.
Fantastic. Okay, on moving on, I know we have an agenda item or an action item on Boykin. Would you like to address that during that item? Or Chair, would you like to address it? Okay, let's address it now. I've formed a subcommittee to negotiate work with Boykin International. General Shortle is chairing that subcommittee along with Dr. Bonzer and Mr. Wittenstein, and Mr. Ross is the swing man. And Dennis, could you give us a brief on that before we get on that action item?
Yes, sure. Does everybody have a copy of the latest one? Or the previous one?
Yeah,
previous one.
I'll take one of your heads. Yeah. Oh, here, I've got one here. Okay.
This is the latest one. Okay, why don't we start off with Exhibit A first, if that's okay with everyone? I'll operate off of the previous one and tell you the changes that are on the new one, if that's okay. Okay, we'll start off right on the first page, and the city up there, where it's on the first line, where it says, as in parentheses and quotation marks, we have changed that to city all the way through. From there on out, there will be no quotation marks or parentheses. Line 3 down there, the date service is covered, the period is, the date is October 16th, 2008 is the new one, and I'm reading off of the old one, so I'm reading the changes as they go along here, through December 31st of 2008, extendable through April 30th, 2009. So the date there has changed from January 31st to December 31st, 2008. Paragraph 2 down there, services consultant, as a personal consultant, the word personal is taken out. There just is a consultant, not a personal consultant. Scope of services, the scope of services, that identifies what the scope of the entire services will be. And line 2, it says our focus has been changed to consultant. And paragraph 2, we've changed around a little bit. The new paragraph reads, the mayor and city council shall appoint a steering committee with the chairman of this steering committee as the principal point of contact. We've added after contact in conjunction with the city attorney. The thinking in there was the city attorney has been one of the main negotiators throughout this. Until, and then leave the same wordage in there, until the city manager has started work. Okay, we've discussed validating of the budgets and the revenue projections, and hopefully that date will be the 14th of November. If we can still hit that date, because that date is extremely important for all of us when we go to the banks, because every one of them wants to see our budget and revenue projections before they're willing to start to talk about a TAM. The consultants, we're still looking at those positions right there. The municipal court clerk, city clerk, city administration director, community development director, public works director, and code enforcement official. And some of those may or may not be encompassed in a contract with someone who takes a bigger piece of the pie. The other, the paragraph right below that, the things that are stipulated there are the things that this case, the consultant has arrived at the meetings that we had on different occasions for them with different groups of us, that they have came out that were our concerns. Down on the bottom of that page, where the paragraph starts, recruit and facilitate the hiring of city employees. Everybody with me on that one? John, you with me?
Yep.
Okay.
The last sentence in there, to establish the process of hiring police officers and staff by March 1st, 2009 in support of start of operations, and we scratched out by and put not later than April 1, 2009. The thinking in there was is that the sooner we could stand up the police force, the better. Once we get the city manager on board and he starts to interview police chiefs, if we could start it up March 1st, that is my desire. If we start up earlier than that, that is even more my desire. When we look at the current IGA expenses with DeKalb County. Okay, those are the, you go through the basic scope of services there, develop, facilitate a plan of collection of revenues, establish new employee orientation, initial training process, arrange for and set up a temporary city hall and police station to be available for city employees. And there are places that, that are currently being looked at for that purpose. while we continue to search for a more permanent place to hang our hats. On the second last paragraph, right before you get the project approach, down there, the third sentence starts out with, working with the city IT vendor, when available, and implementing the approved system designed for phones, da-da-da-da. We have added onto that sentence, let's see exactly what we've added, so I don't have to read my own writing. Working with the city IT vendor, when available, establishing routes for phones, data inputs, sharing the records, etc. And we've added the last paragraph down there, which is not here. Set up a phone system operational by December 1st, 2008. Human representatives from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Electronic answering off-duty hours or as adjusted by the city manager. It gives the city manager the leverage there to go however he wants to go on that. And of course, a long-term objective there, in my estimation, if affordable, should be to go to a human response 24/7. On the next page, should be on page 4. I've got different pages sometimes than you've got. At a minimum, the plan will consist of the following elements. And you'll see A through H there. Is everybody with me? Might be page 5 on yours. 4? Okay. Under city requirements, these are broad-based terms that we're talking about here. They're not specific terms. So under city requirements comes a lot of the, is an umbrella for a lot of, under city requirements comes an umbrella for a lot of the items that we are, you know, specifically needing, like, i.e., things like, you know, anything related to office areas, anything related to RFPs, etc., down through the minutia there. It would deal in the minutia. The last paragraph down there underneath that, again, almost every place you see where it's any issue, bring them to the steering committee, and then comma, city attorney and city manager with a recommendation for resolutions. Everybody with me on that one?
Yep.
Okay, I'm off my old one. Okay, now the staffing paragraph has been changed immensely here. The whole first sentence is taken out there. The city has identified personnel to fill the following positions. It's not what it is. It's really, that sentence has been redlined. And the next sentence, consultants anticipate working alongside the staff using the following resources to advance the startup and facilitation plan for the city. And these things, the positions down there that have been remaining there are the finance director consultant, and the municipal court consultant. And the paragraph right after that, in addition to the key staff noted, consultant will provide staff to perform functions of the city to provide services described above to the mayor, city council, and city manager. City manager has been added. Okay, down there, under you talk about the positions with the Boykin International, Mr. Boykin, on the first sentence, after steering committee, again, the city attorney has been added. Mr. Stein, same thing with him, city attorney is added after steering committee. Okay. Jeff Jones will be responsible for the day-to-day implementation of the working plan, including the RFQs and the RFP. So he is the RFQ and RFP in charge of that at Boykin. The rest of it will stay the same, except the city attorney is also added after the steering committee there. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Angela's also as city attorney. Okay, under Mr. Everett, we've changed that a little bit. We'll develop and initiate the outline plan for IT needs to the new city, including the phone system, and then in parentheses, by December 1st, 2008. We have discussed with them, we want the phone system operational at 0001 on December 1st, 2008. So the strike after midnight. Hopefully, we will be able to test that system out a couple days prior to that to ensure that it is operational. And I'm sure all of you will be calling in to see if it's operational. Nobody's going Okay, under fees, those are the fees that that are going down through there. And in by month, the paragraph right underneath that, consultant fees are budgeted at, and that has been changed to $275,000 through December 31st, 2008. And then you'll notice that the next statement there, and the monthly cumulative budget will not be exceeded without prior written approval from the city. So this can't be front-end loaded, in other words. So everybody's with me on that one. Under reimbursable expenses shall include only the actual expenditures made in the interest of the project. And there is no add-on fee onto that. The next paragraph down there, we've cleaned that up a bit. Reimbursable expenses will be billed at cost. There's the cost factor with no add-on. And a summary of the reimbursable costs will be included in, with each invoice to the city's satisfaction. The next two sentences that were in there about the 10% add-on to the invoice for administration costs have been deleted. On the last page, when you talk about the individual cost, when you come down to office rental, and it is for up to two free city consultants, and not for three city consultants. So if we only have two, which right now we anticipate one at least for sure, maybe a second one, that would create a difference in the cost per month of the office space out there. And then the consultant hour prices out there are representative of the discount hour representatives that Lincoln International has negotiated with us. They've been reduced, as you can see, from 160 to 145, 90 to 80, 160 to 145. These are, I'm not going to read the names, 90 to 80, 75 to 70, 55 to 50. And then the principal in charge, 350 to 300, and from the team leader, 225 to 200. That is Exhibit A as it stands today with all the changes as of this afternoon.
Okay, great. We're going to jump to action item number one, which is discussion of what Denny just outlined for us. So
why don't we discuss that first, and then you do the second.
Yes.
Robert. I've got four things, and I'll try not to take too much of your time. All of you guys know these because I've been consistent in my emails on these four subjects. The first thing that concerns me about the document is that it doesn't make clear that Boykin is working for the city manager. There are references to working for the committee of three, to working for the mayor, working for the attorney. I think we need to clearly say that Boykin is working for the city manager, helping with startup consulting. And I'm concerned that we haven't been crystal clear of that. Now, I know that we're not going to vote on a city manager until next week. So there is a week here where there is no city manager elect. But what I'm worried about is this, that that Boykin's going to get one set of instructions from Danny, something else from various people, and we really want them to have only one person to be telling them what to do. And I would think that person ought to be the city manager. And so that's one concern. You want me to do these one by one, or can we give them all four to you? Let me do that, and then we can talk about it. The second concern I've got is more of a theoretical concern than anything else. This feels like a contract for them to provide leadership instead of to provide support. What I was hoping for
was to use Boykin and their resources to help the city manager with startup and to do tasks as assigned by the city manager. And this really is an agreement that says, take the ball and run with it. Consult with us, but you go out and do it. And I'm worried that that's overreaching a little bit, that that's more than I was expecting us to hand to them. Now, I have no questions about whether they can do it or not. But what I really want is to make sure that this process is driven by the city manager rather than Boykin going to the city manager and saying, here's what we did for you. I'd like the city manager to say, Boykin, go off and do this for me. So that we, and part of that is because I want the city manager to feel vested in the solution. But part of that is I want some control over how much money they spend. I want us to be able, not to run up huge numbers of hours. Because we told them in the document that we needed this done, and so they went off and did it. So that worries me a little bit. The third thing, and it's a really little thing, it's the cost for providing office space. Basically, they're suggesting that we pay them $700 an office. And if you have a 10 by 10 office, that's $70 a square foot. And that seems like a lot of money. And I know it comes with furniture, and I know it includes electricity, and I know that to some degree it includes a telephone, and to some degree it includes the fact that three of the offices down, there's a copy machine. But $70 an hour, $70 a square foot, seems like a huge amount of money. Again, it's a small, in the scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, but it seems a little like highway robbery. But the biggest thing I've got is the timeline. This contract is for now until April 30th, and it has a price tag of over $500,000. It says that we can cancel by coming back to this board and affirmatively voting to cancel early, 4 votes, at any point after December 15th. But I think that that's the wrong way to do it. I would suggest that the better way is to come back each month from December 15th and vote to continue so that we have an opportunity as a group to continue to give them business rather than to face the sense that, well, we'd have to fire them or they're going to continue until they spend over $500,000 and work until April 30th. So the one thing that I think is most important about this is to shorten this up. Let's set a shorter interval in which they have to come back and give us a new proposal for continued work. And at that time, they can come back as a partner with the city manager, and our city manager can tell us, here's what we need them to help us do, rather than us sit here today and say, go ye forth and do this, and if we want you to stop, we'll put it on the agenda and we'll vote for you to stop. So those are my four concerns. And again, none of this will be new to you guys because I expressed all of them in an email earlier.
Okay, committee. Danny, go ahead. You had your email. Go ahead, Danny.
We don't have a city manager on board right now, Robert, as you know. And we wrote this document anticipating that we would not have a city manager on board when this thing was signed. And it's certainly the intent of everybody at this table, I believe, for the city manager, once he comes on board, to run the show. I don't think there's any intention other than that, and I think Mr. Boykin can speak to that, but he knows who's going to be his charge, who's responsible to him once that city manager comes on the board. The second thing was expected the $700 office. We are also diligent in looking for temporary office space, and I think we found some that will be at very, very attractive rates, not $70 a square foot, but substantially less than that with furniture, which happens to be located right across the hall from Mr. Boykin's office, so you can work with the people directly there. And we anticipate that the space there will be at very attractive rates because the people who had that space have been bought out, they've moved away, and any dollars that they get on that space is going to be found money. And they have the lease until May of this year, and nobody else is going to take that space except us. So we think we can get a very attractive deal there. The third thing with respect to term, this agreement is not structured It's a very, very attractive structure from the city standpoint. It's got a 30-day termination. We could send out a notice today to Mr. Borkin once he signs this, and 30 days from that, we could terminate this agreement. So it's a 30-day deal we're talking about. And it gets even better on December the 15th, because on December the 15th, we could terminate it with 15 days notice. And we have Mr. Borkin locked into the rates through April of this year, and I think that's to our benefit. And we can terminate it anytime the city manager wants to terminate it. He can make that happen with 15 days notice after December 15th. So I think the terms of this have been negotiated. I think Mr. Borkin has been very, very generous, I think, in terms of what he has allowed us to negotiate into this, and I feel very comfortable.
Danny? Yeah, I think, you know, I'll answer a couple of concerns and just echo a little bit here what Danny has said about the city manager. You know, we did not have a city manager. We do not have a city manager right now. We do not know, you know, in eventuality if the city manager is going to be here, you know, acts of God, whatever, forbidden. But, you know, you cannot write the document into the future. You have to write it. And as you'll notice, there's a lot of places in here, and one of them says specifically, until the city manager comes on board, and then the city manager. So there's no intent here to rule out the city manager. Nobody on this steering committee, let me just tell you, wants to do the city manager's job, period.
Amen to that.
The other thing is, you know, I think Boykin International knows who they're working for. They aren't the dog wagging the tail. We're the dog and they're the tail. So there's no doubt about that in any of our minds and any of our discussions. You know, the office rates, we have reduced that down to per office versus it was a $3,000 straight fee per month. We've now reduced it down to $700 per office. And we know that we're going to have one office there as soon as the city manager gets here, we hope. And that will, you know, so we have done a lot of due diligence in negotiating this down on this price. If you go from 300 to 700, that's about... that's about a 70% drop. The other thing is the automatic kick clause. In most contracts, you can't get out in 15 days with a contract this big. You just don't get out of it. And we have got the 30 day right now. Anytime down the road, it's a 15 day. And rather than come out and say, okay, let's have another meeting, let's discuss it, it's a lot cleaner to just have it automatically renewed, or on the 14th, for the 13th, the mayor or any three of us can call a special meeting, and we can say, I vote to terminate the contract effective December 31st or effective January 31st or whenever it may be. We took the January 31st, 2009 out of the contract because we did not want that in there, because that just adds another month for sure. And we took another word out of there. Well, it's in this document here that we took out. That, you know, anticipated that it would go through April 30th. We took that out of there and put in the word possibly through April 30th. I don't think any of us anticipate this thing going through April 30th. And I don't think Boykin International does either. But the whole idea is it's a clean document. You know, we could go through it many, many times and change things, but I think it's a very workable document. It's a good, we've done our due diligence as far as spending the taxpayers' dollars, I think, very equitably, and I think it's time to move on. The other thing is to remember that they have been working without a contract, basically, since the 16th of October. And you don't get too many people to do that in this day and times unless you know people that I don't know. So I think those are just a few points that I want to make. And then when we go through the other thing, there are some other clarifications in the agreement of the city manager startup.
Another discussion?
Okay. Do you want to go into just stop and I'll do the high points on the main body?
I will. Yeah, high points. Okay. Again, on the first page, it's starting as of effective today, even though they have started working before. We on the second paragraph, we added to make sure that you know it can be enacted by the Senate but it, in the House, but unless it's passed by referendum, it's not any good, so we added the referendum in there. On the second page, we, under basic services, Exhibit A, we defined Exhibit A as exactly what it is, City Management Startup Services. Okay, and down there in 1.12 is the terms of this agreement shall be through and including December 31st, 2008. That's again that date that we moved from January to December. This agreement shall be automatically extended for 1 month unless written notice of termination is received by the consultant on or before December 15th, 2008 or the 15th day of each month thereafter. In any event, the agreement shall be extended beyond April 30th, 2009 only upon written change order, amendment, or subsequent agreement by the parties. The other stuff, it has not been changed on the next page there whatsoever, so it remains the same. And you'll see that down there on 1.3.2.1, services rendered on or after October 16, 2008 shall be deemed services rendered under this contract, because that is the day that they actually started. The next paragraph, we change the again the date to December 31st. Okay, Article 2, the city's responsibilities, 2.3, page 419 maybe. I hope believe you're on the same page with me. The third paragraph under Article 2, the last thing down there, the last sentence, upon appointment of the steering committee, the chairman of the steering committee will act in conjunction with the city attorney and the city manager nominee. Everybody got that on yours, or maybe some of you got the old one? Air travel temporary. We took out on air travel under reimbursable that nobody would be, regardless if they had to travel, there would be no business class. Everything would be done in coach class. On other things under reimbursables, number 3 was changed because there is no per diem in schedule in Exhibit A, and a per diem rate as agreed to in writing by both parties. Number 4, expenses associated with moving site personnel to and from project location was deleted. Number 8, rendering models and samples requested by the city was deleted. Don't need any models. Number 9, we changed the whole second sentence has been redlined. Such taxes shall include on international projects. That's not applicable to us unless somebody gets lost and goes across the 12-mile dateline on the ocean. Down here, right underneath the following reimbursables, it shows the cost. You'll notice that travel and housing costs is at 0. Telephone, overnight delivery, and courier is all at cost. And printing and graphic reproduction is all at cost. There's no add-on to any of those. Also, miscellaneous expenses. And again, down there on the bottom, consultant shall submit an invoice for reimbursable expenses as part of the payment requested in Article 5. Reimbursement shall be itemized to the satisfaction of the city. The next paragraph, the next sentence has been deleted. In the event the city shall require itemization details, that has been deleted. The expenses of markup of 10% have been deleted. Okay, on 514, just to reemphasize the second sentence, hourly rates listed in the attachment are fixed for the duration of this contract for April 30th, 2009. In paragraph 5.2, you'll see there, consultant shall proceed promptly, blah, blah, second sentence. A proposed completion date of December 31st with possible extensions through April 30th. The word anticipated has been taken out. And the last date there is changed because of today's date being October 27th. Okay, give me 5.3.2. Sorry, but I'm reading off the old one because
to give everybody a shot at looking at what we're looking at. The consultants, the reason, if you take a look at the hourly rate below that, it does not relate to anything in Exhibit A. So what we did there was we added, consultants shall be compensated for work performed outside of the scope of the basic services or by employees or agents of the consultant not listed on Exhibit A at the following rates. So we listed a rate for anybody that they bring in from the outside. One of the things that's not done that we need to redline in the new one, underneath those hourly rates in that paragraph, the vice president, $250, that has been redlined. So you can redline that in all of yours. That was just not deleted. That was a typo error. And then the director is not a director. His name is really the team leader. And those came out of Exhibit A, is exactly what they're identified in that particular document. Okay, you can see here, 561. This is very important to us because of our funding cycle. The initial invoices for basic services, additional services, and reimbursable expenses for services rendered and expenses incurred through December 31st shall be submitted to the city on or after January 1, 2009 and shall be due 30 days thereafter. They are carrying the entire bill through 2009. There's no payment due until...
What did I say? Wrong year? Through 2009, which would be very nice of them.
2007.
A little much to expect.
Okay.
Read again.
That's reading 101. I didn't do too well in that class. I was out reading the page that day. Article 7, termination of the agreement at 7.1 is the thing that you we changed there. This agreement may be terminated by the city upon 30 days written notice and by the consultant upon 60 days written notice during the original term of the agreement. Termination by the city on or after December 15, 2008 shall be governed by Section 112 of this agreement. That is the 15th of the month notification. Okay. On Article 8.83, we changed that. Can I ask a privilege of information here to the council? Would you brief us on why we took out the mutual indemnification?
What we did, if we took out, we're going to indemnify them, we're just going to hold them harmless, which means that we won't go after them, but we're not going to indemnify, which means actually pay.
And that also has something to do with us, correct?
Well, yeah, if we actually agree to pay them, we might lose our sovereign immunity, and that we're not going to do.
Okay, 8.4, the old one has been moved because it's a duplicate back to 15.1.1. You'll notice there on 8.7 that any notifications we added certified mail. 8.7.
I don't have an 8.7.
It's been renumbered 8.6.
How about 8.6?
I got an 8.6.
There you go. You'll notice that we added it will be notified by certified mail. Okay, we've discussed Article 10 insurance in depth, and one of the things is we discussed in our meeting today and with council is that insurance has to come online here ASAP. And we have been informed by council and by Councilman Ross, who is working with the insurance, that we will predate that, and it can be done.
Yes, right.
Let's go to Section 12 real quick. And if I'm skipping anything anybody wants any explanations of, please let me know. 12.3.2. That has been cleared up there that we are not to reveal any confidential information to third parties other than approved consultants and approved sub-consultants, if any. And accordingly, without limits of the generality of the foregoing, not to supply any information to any prospective customer of the consultant. That just keeps our information privileged to us. And we added a paragraph 12.3.6, probably on the next page, it's the last one under 12.3.
that notwithstanding any provision to the contrary, before any confidential information is disclosed to a third party, the third party shall execute a non-disclosure agreement with terms at least as restrictive as those contained herein. Okay, 15.1.1 is the old 8.4. It was a duplicate, so it was not required on 8.4, so it was deleted. 15.1.2, it said that where the consultant of or its officers or agents or employees in the performance of his duties, except for willful misconduct, we added our gross negligence. And then the last thing is that you've got the old one. There is no 16. So 16.1.6.1 is actually 15.6.1. Do you have a new one or an old one, Robert?
This is a new one.
You get a new one, okay. And that is, just to go, the agreement with the city manager to serve Boykin International.
All right. Thank you. Discussion. All right. Is there a, I make a motion to accept the agreement as read so eloquently by
that you won't come to another meeting, please. I've got a longer word for the next meeting.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
One second.
Do we have a second? Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a second on floor. We're going to have a discussion.
You can have discussion.
Discussion. Yeah, just yes. A little discussion. Yeah, I just saw a couple of typos.
Okay. Council? As far as typos?
You can change them to Scrivener errors. That won't change the
meeting. So I believe typos can just be...
Call a Scrivener's error. Yeah, we can clean those.
Okay, other
questions?
Okay, red line. Okay, Dr. Bond, did you
look at red line? Either one of those do change immediately. One of them deletes the word interim, which came under, we changed that to financial consultant instead of interim.
Okay, Tom?
Just a couple comments. I've made most of my comments clear in emails to the council, but I just want to say that I'm going to reluctantly not support this right now, and the reason for my vote is nothing to do with Don Boykin or his company, but we had a ballot proposal and a ballot contract negotiation on the table, and we have state legislators come in and upset that process. It's cost us about a month, which we cannot pull back, and that's my reason.
Other discussion? Mr. Hannigan.
I believe that this proposal is fair, just, and within our financial means to do so. I'm looking forward to working with Boykin International, getting a city manager on board, and getting this city up and running. I'm going to be voting for this proposal.
Other discussion?
I would just tell you, in the negotiations that we've had with Boykin International and the personnel there, and 1, 2, 3, 4... of us have been involved in that, including plus the city attorney. I felt that wherever we wanted to change, it was changed in our favor. So I feel very comfortable, and when I look across the table, I also feel comfortable with Boykin International. And having said that, just make sure it's very damn affordable.
Okay. Other discussion? I'd like to add, too, just to clarify what exactly this is and what it is not. This is not Boykin running our city, or is it going to be Boykin running our city now or in the future? It's simply a process that's set to help organize what needs to be done. And I think in its simplest terms, that's what we're looking at. Even when our city manager is on board, it is an impossible task for one human being to try to accomplish. So someone to basically help coordinate, help achieve these tasks that we outline to Boykin to get our city operational by January 1st. So I know we're excited to try to get forward, so thank you for all the hard work. With that, is there any other discussion? If not, I will move this to a vote. All in favor of the contract, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposed? It carries. And next on the agenda is discussion of voting to authorize a notification to DeKalb County of student takeover of certain services. And this motion, basically what this is we need to notify DeKalb of anything that we plan on doing internally or ourselves or not through the county. And so based on discussions that we've had over in the past and on some of the IGA discussions, this is the motion. The city attorney is hereby authorized to provide notice to the governing authority of DeKalb County that the city of Dunwoody will, as of December 1st, 2008, take over the function of collection of taxes, fees, assessments, fines, and forfeitures, and other monies within the territorial limits of the city. That is the motion.
A second.
All right. There's a second discussion on that motion. Yes, Robert.
That's okay. Danny.
I'm sorry. I was looking at my left. Danny, you know. Okay. Good, Robert.
There's nothing wrong with this motion, obviously. The question that I've got is whether there's other things we might want to take over on December 1st, right? We have to give them 30 days notice. Mm-hmm. So this is just about our last chance to do that. And the thing that's not in there is zoning and land use. If we don't vote this week or next week to take over zoning and land use on December 1, then we don't get to take it over until some later date. Is that something we want to do?
Council.
Yeah. One thing, on all services, we have paid through January 1st, or December 31st. So most of the services should leave to the county because we paid for them.
Agreed.
Now, on zoning, that is a particular issue that we've had in-depth discussions on. And what we need to do because of the ZPL, the zoning procedures law, is the charter and the statute allows us to keep the ordinances of DeKalb County will be applied until we tell them otherwise. And the Zoning Procedures Act, in order to change it and even adopt our own, could be construed as something that has to be required to go through the ZPL, which requires a public hearing. And we can't actually hold an official public hearing until after December 1st. So the most prudent way to do it is to actually allow the county's ordinance to stay in place until we can get our ordinance in place. We can't get our ordinance in place on December 1st because the law doesn't allow us to. So what we're going to do is keep their ordinance in place and then put in a moratorium, and a moratorium we're allowed to do outside of the Zoning Procedures Act and go forward. And so we're planning on having it by January 1st be in place. Does that make sense? If not, I'll discuss it with you later, but that's the plan.
I get it. I'm not 100% comfortable with it, but I get it.
Okay, hold on a second. Danny?
You know, the thing...
Danny.
Whatever.
I remember that.
I'm not sure you're right.
I guess one of my questions, Robert brought up a good point, because, you know, that is zoning and land use, number one concern of the citizens. Number one concern, by a great big margin, by the way, in the poll we took. So I think that's one of the things that, and Brian, you gave me a bunch of legal stuff, so you know darn good and well I can't figure that out. So, but I would like you to kind of report back to us on that and see if there's something we can kind of start getting that moving, because I would like to get the land use and the zoning in under our control and operational as soon as possible.
Sure.
And then the other thing I got in your motion is to take over the collection, the function of collection of taxes. I don't think we're going to take over the function of property taxes.
We will, but we'll do it with an IGA more than likely with the tax commission. We'll do it, and then
yes,
we've got to have an agreement with them.
This basically says we will be in control as opposed to having...
We're going to have to pay them 1% or a couple percent to do it for us.
Okay, I thought they collected the taxes and then it went to the state and then it came back to us.
We will have an IGA with them to collect the taxes and then they were made
on our behalf. Yes, sorry, Robert. Yeah, we actually talked to the DeKalb County Tax Commissioner. We have the option of not using them. We could send out our own property tax bills. It's a bad idea. But you could actually do it yourself, although everybody does it through the county, because then it all shows up on one bill, and they pay the one bill, and when they pay that bill, the tax commissioner then disperses to all the governments, right, who are on that bill. So we still have to have the power to authorize them to do it on our behalf, is what we're talking about today.
Other discussion, Tom?
Yeah, I just had a question. Do we know when the DeKalb County moratorium on zoning expires? Because I'd hate to see a gap.
Yeah, December 1st.
Even an hour between when ours takes.
We're planning on having our moratorium in place December 1st. There is lapses on December 1st.
Okay, other discussion on this? Okay, we're going to move this for a vote. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have a resolution. Mr. Anderson, could you please read us the first two lines?
Well, I'll read the now therefore.
Yes.
Because that's the important part in this one. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Mayor and the Council for the City of Dunwoody that the scheduled meetings of the City Council during the calendar year 2008 through 2009 are to be held at 7 p.m. on the second and fourth Monday of each month, and work sections are to be held on the third Monday of each month at the Dunwoody United Methodist Church, effective this 27th day of October 2008. So basically, we're moving the meetings from here on the regularly scheduled ones, which we passed last time, to the Dunwoody Methodist Church.
Yes, Danny. I move we accept the resolution as read. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion. I'll start off as executive privilege here. It's something I've heard a lot of comment about this room as being uncomfortable for the citizens. And certainly, I know to speak for myself, it's pretty uncomfortable for myself, but that's just one man speaking. So for that reason, the Methodist Church did approach us and offer up their rooms for council until we get a permanent or semi-permanent meeting place. So that's why this is sitting at the table, and I will throw to Robert. Well, you first, Robert. I'll call all okay. People. Thank you for...
Okay, I was going to defer to my colleague. I'm very grateful for Peachtree Middle School opening up their facility for us. They're doing it free of charge. This facility was built, sort of as a community project. And one of the things they told us when they built it was that this kind of meeting could occur at this location because we were paying for it. So I'm very grateful for them to doing that. I'm fine with Dunwoody Methodist as an alternative. Although I have two caveats with that. One is I recognize that this isn't centrally located for a whole bunch of Dunwoody residents, but I also recognize that Dunwoody Methodist isn't centrally located for a whole bunch of residents either. This is very convenient for the folks who live over on this side of town. This is going to inconvenience them if we move to the other side of town. Now I live on the other side of town. Dunwoody Methodist is very close to me. It's going to make my life easier, but I'm sensitive to the fact that there are a lot of folks who live on this side of town who feel like everything goes on in Dunwoody Village. And this will just be one more thing that we're moving into Dunwoody Village. The only other thing I would ask as a courtesy is that when we're having our meetings, I'd love it if they'd take the cross and the flag with Jesus on it and put it in a different room. It may not bother very many people, but it feels to me like if we're doing a city thing, it ought to be done without the trappings of religion in the immediate vicinity.
Okay. Make note of that. Thank you. Danny?
Just a couple points. I want to thank him for opening this up. It's a nice facility. I should have been over here a little longer. Maybe I could get out of junior high school. But a couple things, you know, the folks back in the back, I think you're having a hard time hearing me, and I can speak pretty loudly. Number two is that the 9:30, we do have a 9:30 curfew, so in 15 minutes we're all going to turn the pumpkins and head for the door, otherwise we have to pay. So I think the idea that we won't have to move, we don't have to worry about holidays and everything else, I don't have any problems with the religion. Robert, if you'd like to have it in the synagogue, I'll come there, and you don't have to move anything. I'll sit right down and won't have to. I don't have a problem at all with that. So I think it's, you know, it just, it's a better of both worlds.
Okay. Any, yes, Danny.
No question, nothing.
Nothing, okay.
Just
John. I'll finish it up then if there's not any other discussion. This wasn't based on a convenience factor. It was a comfortability factor and a time factor. So rest assured that that wasn't a consideration, at least on this side of the coin. All right, with that being said, we'll put to a vote. All in favor of moving the location, aye. Any opposed? All right. All right, we're going to do the first read, and we will not have discussion on our first read. So, Lenny, would you do the honors?
Yes.
If you're still ready.
Yes, Mayor. Yep. This is the first read of an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 24, Taxation, providing for inclusion and identification in the Court of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 24, Taxation, is attached here to and incorporated here.
Okay. Thank you for that. We're on to public comment. Mr. Anderson, is there another set of cards? Or?
I didn't have another one. You could just maybe ask.
Okay, then I would ask, I will look out into the crowd and look for a raising of hands. And if I look left, so, yes. Okay, when you leave, please push in your chair. And read the file of your book.
Put them on the table. That's where the bard has it.
Thank you very much for that. It's a great, great thought. And pick up your trash. Ms. Solson.
Yes. I learned it when I ran the charter for history that when you were, y'all talked a lot about emailing tonight. We were told by council that when we email each other as a council, and our meetings had to be called within the Sunshine Laws, open meetings. If we replied all in to any of our council members, we were creating a cyber meeting and therefore leaving out the public to hear comments. So I just want to make sure that in all of your emailing with each other, that you're following the Sunshine Law procedures for communicating in cyberspace, and if council could make sure that that is truly the fact, and I would appreciate knowing that, that's the case, and that we'll all hear how this email is going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Someone's behind you.
Brian Sims.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Brian Sims. I just felt like I missed one point there. I was speaking. To me, the 4 o'clock drinking, again, it seems like we're moving. We have hard feelings like we're moving to 4 from 2, which is really not what we're doing. We're trying to hope to stay where it's been for 37 years or 28 years, whatever you're going to be a Dunwoody resident. And I wanted to kind of boil it down that I think this is like a free enterprise taxation revenue issue and not one about fear about what our neighbors are doing. I feel like we are very fearful of how Dunwoody's decision is going to be impacted by Sandy Springs, City of Atlanta, DeKalb in general. And I just don't want the City Council making decisions based on our fear of what our neighbors are going to be doing. We should be strong enough to stand on our own 2 feet as a new city and say this is how we feel like our revenue generators want to be treated and how our citizens want to be treated, and find a mutually agreed upon decision based on that. And I think we just need to hit on the last point. It says, besides, we all agree that a license to serve alcohol is a privilege. And I don't know who's in charge of saying no, he can't have an alcohol license, but I presume there's going to be somebody who's going to say that. And if we get to the point where we're finding that businesses are coming to Dunwoody that are not appropriate for Dunwoody, we should feel strong that we can say, no, we don't want your business if that is truly going to be an inappropriate use of that space. And that's maybe an economic decision that we're going to have to make at that point as citizens to get to a place where we feel like we want to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Bob Austin. I just would like to urge the mayor and city council to follow up on the suggestion that this alcohol issue be discussed through the committee of restaurateurs, bar owners, pub owners, and whatnot. I sent everybody an email when you all got elected that you need to get your, it's a popular vote to get your elected, but once you get elected, you run the city, you have a responsibility not to the citizens of DeKalb County, or to the city of Dunwoody, but to the businesses in Dunwoody as well. And I think they have, their concerns and issues have to be addressed and at least listened to in a proper form. I think there also have to be some issues identified that is it 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock? What kind of establishments are going to be here? If it's a concern over big clubs, adult entertainment clubs, whatever those may be, there are zoning and enforcement issues that can be, those can be taken into account as well to handle those issues without punishing some of the bar owners and restaurant owners that have been in existence for a while. I would lay it to most of you that until this discussion took place, you didn't know where Dooley's was, let alone the fact that it was open at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been to fire occurs, whatever it is, over at Ashford Dunwoody Road once or twice at a citizens' Dunwoody meeting. I didn't know they were open until 4 o'clock. So I think it's bad policy to lump everybody together in a 4 o'clock mentality until you look at the issue as a whole. And you can't look at the issue as a whole until you talk to the owners, until you talk to the people who are in the business, and identify what the concerns are. And I think Bob Dallas has a very legitimate concern over what's going to happen to Perimeter Center as that continues to grow. And I think you have to take that into consideration. So I'm not either for or against. I'm hoping that the council goes and looks at this with a much broader look and not do, as I said to one of the councilmen, a knee-jerk reaction because there's been 100 emails to a councilman. 89 of those have said they're for 2 o'clock. That truly isn't representative of the full city of Dunwoody. And it truly isn't the representative of the business community of Dunwoody. And again, I let everybody know, we represent the largest economic engine in the Southeast. Okay? So we cannot make this decision on a knee-jerk reaction. We have to spend and listen to the experts, and the experts are the people in the business, to get a full and balanced hearing on this. That's what I would suggest.
Thank you. Yeah, up behind. Yes.
First time I've ever come to see you guys operate, and I just wanted to
name, please.
Thank you. I've lived in Dunwoody for 10 years.
Name?
My name is Mitch Weatherly. Thank you. Lived in Dunwoody for 10 years, lived right down the street in District 2. This is very convenient for me. And it's clear that y'all have done a lot of work, and I assume y'all have other things that you actually make your living and doing. Probably don't get paid very well for this. And to the extent you haven't had, if at all, to the extent you haven't had someone who you represent say thank you, I'm saying thank you. The contract to get Working International involved in helping out with getting the city up and running sounds like a great idea. It's going to cost a lot of money. Yeah.
We're going to give you 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're about to turn to pumpkins. Paul.
Thank you. I'm Paul Hanna. I'm a Dunwoody resident since 1989 and an active member of the community. Just wanted to thank you, Mayor Wright, and members of the council for your service as well. And also, many of you know that we have been actively researching. I work for a company called Jones Lang LaSalle, which is the largest real estate consulting firm in the world. And many of our consultants and agents and brokers live here in the Dunwoody area. And we would be delighted to have the opportunity to present to you the services that we offer as a possibility to serve the city of Dunwoody in your search for office space. And Mr. Boykin also, now that they will be consultants to the city of Dunwoody. We've done some extensive research, which I've provided to many of you already, but we look at this. We represent users of office space primarily, and so we represent this knowing what the landlords are having to look at or the sublessors or who the case may be for some other space. We typically do this at no cost to our clients as the landlords have fees built in to pay our services. So we're kind of like a public servant attorney who gets paid for representing somebody on the other side, if you will. So we just want the opportunity to present our services if that may happen. We understand that the need for real estate or offices, temporary and then permanent, is immediate, and we're prepared to try to meet those needs for you. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, quick, thank you for having time. I am George Bell, and I just want to reiterate the sunshine laws. Also, I'm interested if maybe I'm missing something, but the items, some of the items you're talking about discussing, those documents, et cetera, are those documents available to the public for comment before you vote on these things? Like, for example, FX would be a good example. There was two proposals for the tax FX. I wasn't aware that those documents are available for us to review. So you could provide comment on anything else. So I'm just not sure if those things are available publicly.
Sure.
Where those documents are.
Let me just point of order. I don't think we're supposed to address the crowd. But let me go to city attorney, Brian.
Once we get the city website up on November 1st, they'll be posted. Like when we have a first reading, they'll be posted at that time, and that's the time for everyone to look at it. And then you have the time between the first reading and the second reading. And that's the whole point of having the delay between the two readings. So once we have the website up, they will be posted there after the first reading.
Okay, thanks.
I just want to say something again. My name is Gordon Kinder. I think a lot of this is about this behavior tonight.
That's not official.
Be a city form or an ability for us to be able to talk about some of these things. Is there a motion to put something together so that we can work with you and also try to work some of these items out?
Point of order again, City Attorney.
You can just appoint the committee.
I'll go out of point of order since it's not on the agenda. We did not add it to the agenda at the beginning, so we can't make a motion just at large,
right,
out of nowhere. So I've got it in my pocket where I will go back and chew on it and see about forming a committee, which I most likely will do, of residents, business owners.
I'm very happy to walk with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Kendrick. All right, we have some public comment here internally. Yes, John.
I have a website which I post a number of items. Last night when I obtained the documents from the city attorney, both ethics proposals are on my website and for public viewing. Again, it's not a city website, it's just something I do internally for myself. You're welcome to see that. I think.
Okay, yes, then.
Will we adjourn?
Second. All in favor?